The weekly conversations with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your question. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have microphone privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing of the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Groups section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom everyone, welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's Conversation Room. Let us start in the name of the Most High, who has created all things, that he has perfected his religions by sending all religions of the world, and each of these religions are a part of a greater truth, and he revealed to his prophets that at the end time he will reveal a revelation that make everything to make sense. And now this revelation has come to humanity with clear signs and backing of God, so human can realize and recognize that God indeed is the most compassionate, and he has come to let humanity know that indeed they are supported by the Spirit of God, and he wants them to come together and realize there is only one God for the whole humanity. They have to educate humans to recognize and realize what they have is okay, but they have to forego the dogmas and man-made part of the religion and recognize and realize God indeed promised all these prophets will come to man and humanity, and each of them have a part of a greater truth. And when you put all of them together, you will see the whole picture. Of course, humanity have been with the religions for 4,000 years, 3,000 years, 2,000 years, 12,000 years, and many other recent revelation, and they are attached to what they have received, and they believe that each of them have the whole truth. Of course, that is absolutely against the word of God and the scriptures, as God has said there will be seven seals, seven revelation, and he has promised coming of great prophets, both from Isaac and Ishmael, and he promised Abraham that he will bless all nations, not few of them, and he indeed has done that clearly, because all the prophets have come from his genealogy, and he has been incarnated many times to bring great revelation to man. Now this revelation makes sense. It explains the creation and history, who and what God promised to humanity and how he fulfilled them, and we are indeed at the end time, and it's the time for humanity to recognize, and those who have prepared themselves to return home to God are called to come together and become brothers and sisters and carry this message and revelation to the end of the world and bring all the elects and those who have prepared themselves for this revelation come together and create the nation of God, a nation based on the Spirit of God and His laws and the nature and the ways that God has created this universe to function. And of course, His ways is the best way because He knows humanity and creation. He is the creator of this universe. Therefore, His laws is based on the best way to be in the nature and live in it. We can see that indeed this revelation unified everything that was dismembered and ununified to this point. And if you really think about it, you will see many things that used to be a point of disagreement between religion. They are no longer there by understanding these teachings. And therefore, we have to forego our own understanding, our own culture, our own religion, our own dogmas, and go to the website, sit down, and really read what is been given, and not to listen to anybody, not to other people, not even the disciples in the mission, but every person has to go and study and realize the depth of this revelation by themselves so they can eventually see the whole truth. Of course, there are people that they already have seen the vision, they have read the revelation, they have seen the website, they have heard the explanation many times. They can help you in clarify what you might not have recognized in the website. And therefore, eventually you will come and see and understand the teaching. Amina, I know you, that you have been on our website, therefore you do have the mic privilege. Go ahead. Oh, okay, they do. Okay, if you don't have any mic, then do you want to type your question in text? And but your hand is up. Or maybe it just went out without you knowing. All right. Okay. Well, the question is, how can we contain our anger with children? The best way to overcome our emotions and angers and anything that we are not happy with in our life is to meditate and recognize the stillness between breathing in and breathing out, and breathing out and breathing in as it's taught in our meditation room. And whenever we are in a situation that we don't like it, we want to control over it, just stop and step back and go back to that calm place between breathing in and breathing out that you have already recognized in your meditation, and come from that calmness of mind. That calmness, that stillness, is the Spirit of God. As God said, be still that know I am God. And that stillness between breathing in and breathing out, when you actually recognize God within, and you know indeed God is with you all the time. Actually, in our teachings and meditation, the goal is to be in that state of mind all the time and come from that state so your ego is not in the way. Our anger, our emotions, our psychological and emotional problems are all related to subconscious mind, which is between conscious mind and unconscious mind. And the subconscious mind is the accumulation of our karmas and our experiences of this lifetime and many lifetimes before it. And therefore, it is in our way to be connected to God. And in that stillness of between breathing in and breathing out, and breathing out and breathing out in, the subconscious mind stops chattering, and we are directly connected to the Spirit of God or Essence within. And therefore, we can come from that calmness and stop being angry or emotional or unhappy about the situation. And even if we are angry or we show emotion, it's not from ego, it is from the higher consciousness and higher level, and usually it is very effective. And if you can reach that point of stillness, children actually recognize that better than adults, and they will respond to you much in a greater degree than if you come from ego, because they are the best masters, because they are closer to God and a spirit, and therefore they can recognize, you know, you are not from the center and the calmness of your being, and therefore they might even become more rowdy and make you even more angry and emotional. Therefore, you have to go to our rooms, meditation room that we have, meditate on the universal mantra, learn how to meditate on the universal mantra, and recognize that the stillness, and it is for everybody, and in every situation, we can benefit from being in that calm center and eventually gain control over any situation we are in, and not in an egoistical way, but in a spiritual way, so everybody recognize and realize that we are coming from the essence and the calm part of our being, and therefore they will react to your will, which is from the spirit. That is the way you overcome any emotional problem. Come from that calm state of mind. Practice to be in that state all the time. But if you lost it, through meditation, you will gain the power to stop yourself. Because in meditation, you bring your mind back over and over to your mantra. And therefore, mind become tired of fighting you anymore, because that mind has been fighting with you for many lifetimes, and he or it think that it is in control. For the first time, when you close your eyes and you start going through the process of meditation and using your mantra and bringing your mind back to your mantra, you are telling your mind, no, I'm not going to let you take me where you want me to take, where you want to take me, but I will be in control. Of course, the mind doesn't like it. Your subconscious mind doesn't like it. They have been in control and running your life for many, many, many lifetimes, and suddenly you say no, you will accept that situation, and you want to control your mind. And of course, they fight back. They don't want you to do that, but little by little, as you meditate more, if you meditate twice a day regularly and use the technique we have given you, you little by little bring your mind back to the mantra, and all, and so you will recognize and realize the ability of how to control your mind. So later on, when you're angry, you don't become angry. You recognize you are angry. You just stop and step back, go to that calm place, and you come from there. So little by little, you will overcome your anger and your emotional problem. And humanity indeed needs this very badly, so we can eventually create humans that they are not emotional. They do not come from a place of chaos, which is mind and subconscious mind. They come from the spirit, the calmness within, and therefore their relationship with one another will be based in a greater spiritual level, and they will create better rapport and oneness with each other. We can create better peace and unity, and this is another way to do it. I hope that helped you in your quest to gain power and control over your mind and your anger. And I hope everybody do practice the meditation that has been given to you, and try to recognize that calmness all the time, so you will be happier and in more control and one with each other, and eventually we create a peaceful world. Instead of the first thing goes wrong, we take the gun and the fire and the army and they kill each other until at the end we don't even remember why we started the war in the first place. And it seems so trivial when we reach that point that so many people have already lost their life and so many misery brought because we did not come from that calm state, so we can talk to each other, we can come to one, you know, to a term with one another, and realize indeed each of humans and cultures and religions have some truth. And none of them have the whole picture. And each of them, of course, have one part of the elephant, and that is why they are fighting with each other so hard. Now, of course, when they have the whole elephant, they will not fight. They will agree, yes, okay, I have the trunk, but you have the tail. Oh, yeah, okay, I can see that, yeah, the elephant is more than just trunk. It's the whole thing. And that is the thing we are trying to create for humanity, to come together and see and bring to peace, not only in an individual life, but in a community, in the nations, and eventually in the whole earth. And the whole tools and all the tools necessary, from meditation and realizing the essence to creation of the communes of light, following the eternal divine path, which unifies all religions together to creation of a system that indeed is much better than any other system on earth at this time, that is godly system. And this teaching have to be recognized and realized with each of you. That is why we come in this room. The revelation indeed has finished at this time, but I continue coming here, and the reason for it is we recognize in a greater degree what the teaching is, and so we can present it to other people in a clearer way possible. Open eye, go ahead, ask your question.
Yes, salam, how are you today? I have a question. I'm getting feedback from family members or extended family because of showing your website to them. They have reported back from their spiritual advisor or whatever, have concluded, and which is negative about it, because as most times I've noticed from this room, people say this, that we are cult, but I say to them no, complete no, and I tell them all the reasons and how could it be, and I said to them that even Christ, because they're mostly Christians here, even Christ himself, from the Jewish point of view, they also call Christ the cult, he's a devil and all that, but they still come back, hey, don't say that about Christ. And I always keep coming back to them, read the website, read the book. But their spiritual advisors tell them, we read the book, what can you tell them about to clarify that point? I know there are, on the website, there are clarifications on to answer that question, but they still think, no, this is wrong. Can you just put on record, whenever they come to the room or hear you speak, but to clarify this point clearly, that how a cult is not a cult, we're not a cult, that whatever, however you understand the word cult, this is not a cult. So can you clarify that for them?
Sure, basically a cult is an organization that emphasizes the worshiping or attention to the leader of the cult, and the cult, the leader replaces God for those people, and therefore after a while the members lose their own discriminative mind and ability to think, and cults do many techniques to control their members, and the leader, of course, you know, eventually goes off because the whole organization based on ego, and therefore the cult eventually ends up in demise and destruction. Usually those cults don't have the prophecies, they do not fulfill the backing of God, that great prophets or Messiah or major manifestations have demonstrated and brought to humanity. Their word usually is not completely based on the word of God. It's their own interpretation, and therefore it is not based on the scriptures. They don't bring what God has promised that they will come and bring to humanity. We do not emphasize in the founder, we emphasize that you have to go to God. Even if I become an obstacle in your way, then you will not go into God, and you will be attached to me, and therefore you will fall because you become attached to the bridge instead of going over the bridge to God. That's why that book is written. If you find the Buddha, kill him. Of course, don't kill him, but that idea is that the Buddha is here to connect you to Nirvana, to your essence, not connect you to themselves. And of course, that is exactly what we hear in this mission. This mission is a revelation that covers from very mundane thing in life, and they follow to the highest level of the creation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And of course, if we look at the present religions of the world, in the world, actually most of them have become a cult themselves. In Islam, more emphasizes in Muhammad than God. In Christianity, Christ became the most important part of their religion, instead of seeing what God's talk about. And as we said in the very beginning of this conversation, people are attached to their culture, to their religion, to their teachings. And when something new comes, of course, they resist it. But this teaching is given to you freely, and you are asked actually to freely give to everybody else. We are not trying to control you. If you want to leave the mission today, we leave you to God, and we just pray for you that you might return as a lost sheep, and of course we rejoice when you do. And therefore, we do not try to control anybody, but of course, we call upon the elect, those who can come together and work, become contacts, create the environment that people can meditate, share the teachings, and spread the message to everybody in the world. Therefore, the idea is to spread, to reach out, to educate, to expand, to create an environment that we eventually can educate the leaders, the societies, the humanity, and when they reach the point that they realize their ways is not going to work, they would realize the way, their way is a part of a greater revelation of God, and God's way is the best way. Therefore, this is not a cult because of all the reasons above. And we actually... one of the first words came out of my mouth when I started the mission was never give up and never suicide. Cults usually end up become suicidal, and because they're attached to the result of their actions, and we are not. One of our teaching is surrender and submit the result to God. Do your best, but don't be attached to the result. And therefore, we do not become suicidal because The result is not ours, you know. That's fine. Just give your life and do your best for God and don't be attached to it. If they didn't see your vision, that's okay. Just tell them the truth and leave them to God and go to the next person. Don't become a cult yourself by becoming attached to bringing your family or friends or neighbors to the mission. I wasn't able to bring my family to the mission, all of them, and I left them to God and let them go, and now of course I'm reaching to humanity and I try to reach those who have the ears to listen and see the vision. Therefore, our job is easy. Our work is godly. The revelation is been prophesied to come. God's Spirit is with us. If you see, the whole earth is in upheaval and no system, no religion, no teaching can bring unity and peace on earth but this revelation and teachings. And therefore, we have the backing of God, and it is indeed the time of coming of this revelation, and God created this internet so we can reach humanity in a greater degree without being prosecuted or stoned or crucified or shot at as the other prophets have been dealt with that way. So God is very protective of this revelation. And indeed, those who have the eye can see this vision clearly and realize it cannot be a cult, because a cult is not based on the Word of God. The cult is not connecting you to God. And therefore, tell them the truth and leave them alone. And if, of course, it is your family and you're attached to them, you know, you have to meditate on that and work on them in a greater degree if you want to change your mind. But eventually you have to recognize and realize, you know, that is what the prophecy has been. At the end time, the husband will be taken, the wife will be left, the child will be taken, the mother will be left, the brothers will be taken, the sister. It's just time of sundering. It's the time that those who have prepared themselves will see it. Those who have not, the only thing you can do, tell them the truth and pray for them that they also might see. But our family and our nation and our friends are people who see the vision, and they are one with us in this vision, and therefore we become one big, huge family together. And maybe eventually when we become a big family, other people also can overcome their dogmas and misunderstandings and come and join us. But we are in a minority. Minorities always are having a hard time, and we are a pioneer. Pioneers are the people who suffer most, and when you want to start something new, it is not the easiest thing to do. So you have to recognize all this thing and be strong. Let the Spirit of God come through and come on you, and don't be attached to the result of your action, and therefore you can preach and reach out to everyone without being unhappy why they do not join us. But this is the truth. This is the reality. And humanity have eventually to recognize and realize the last revelation of God has come. The truth have been revealed to humanity. Our religions are unified. God indeed exists. He sent all the religions and revelation to man. And our goal is to go back to Him, to the Spirit, to the essence, and return back home. And of course, we have 1,000 years to do that. But the sooner we start walking, the sooner we will reach there, and more people will recognize these truths. And pioneers don't have the easiest job, but they also are the chosen people and those who have seen the vision. And if we were in pioneer, we wouldn't see the vision either. You know, it's that is the whole thing. And when I received the revelation, it made so much sense. Nothing else made sense in my life, no religion, no science, no intellectual curiosity. All of them eventually end up to a dead end, and none of them really satisfied what my curiosity and search were taking me to. And eventually, of course, when this came, it's just like a thirsty person reaching the water, the clearest water in the desert. And of course, it all makes sense. Those who really read this teaching, understand this division, see the revelations of God, the prophecies, and the promises God gave to humanity, they have no choice and say, yeah, it is from God. But still, if they insist it is from the devil or it is a cult, just leave them alone and tell them, no, it is not, but I will tell you the truth, but leave you to God if you do not want to recognize and realize indeed it is from God. So our work is just to give the message, but not to be attached to the result. Expect result, do your best, perfect your preaching and teaching, and let God come through. Each time you preach and it doesn't work, meditate why it didn't work. Maybe it is you, maybe it is the way you approach it, maybe the people you approach, maybe just like approaching a stone, a water is approaching a stone or a sand hill. Okay, if it's a sand hill, it's easier for water to break through and go and make an inroad. But if it's a stone, it will take much longer and more effort to do that. Therefore, the best way is to find a more receptive audience, the people who are much closer to see the vision, and therefore you can get more result by preaching those who have seen the vision clearly. But those who insist, we have in our room, people come and yell, yes, my theory is Antichrist, this and that, when clearly explained in the website, who is the Antichrist? Okay, Antichrist does not teach the word of God, does not fulfill the prophecies, does not fulfill the genealogy. Antichrist is the person who take you to the world and Maya and destruction and all those things. And therefore, we have to recognize that the world has not heard this before. This is something so new, it's something so fresh and new and amazingly different than anything humanity knows to this point. And we suddenly come and tell them, your religion that you think is the best, is the only way, is the last one, is the most universal and the last revelation and this and that, it's just a part of a greater truth. Of course they're not going to accept it. They're going to fight it. They're going to, do anything possible, to change your mind and take you back to what they believe themselves. And that is not surprising at all. So we have to expect that is a part of process. But as we reach out, we preach and we make more people recognize God's way, eventually the critical mass will be reached, and those who have a different opinion than God's revelation and this truth will eventually turn around and see their way is not gonna go anywhere, but will bring more destruction. Indeed, any time a revelation comes, especially this one which unifies all the religion, the other religions, the more they try to not accept this one, the more destruction they're going to bring on themselves, because their way is no longer the will of God, and their way is just something old and outdated, and they are trying to follow something, is no longer have grace with it, and therefore destruction will come to them in a greater degree. God doesn't bring destruction. Human bring destruction on themselves, but not by not listening to God. And therefore, this revelation is for all humanity. This is the only revelation that is revealed for the whole humanity. It is the only revelation that the revealer did not reveal it in its own language to its own people. It came from the east to the west to be revealed to in a place that has the greatest communicational ability for humanity to be reached. And therefore, we can see that it is now very clear it's for humanity. It's not for only Jews or Arabs or lost children of Abraham. It is for the whole humanity. Amena Rachel asks, what is the role of children in the communities of light? Children are the people of the future, the builders of the society in the next generation. They have to be nurtured, they have to be taught, they have to be brought up with a great degree of care and understanding and teaching and blessings and realization of God's plan for them. And the best way for them to grow up is in the communities of light. In the community, that there are nurturing and there is sharing between people. There is a essay in I think it's in supplements, that it talks about the children, and also in some essays that if somebody can find the URL, that would be great if we can post it for her to go and read about the children and the communities, and how it is important that we create an environment that the children are taken care of. In the communities of light, the children will be exposed at least to 12 people. Of course, the parents have the greatest right on the children and in their upbringing. But if the children only are exposed to their parents, their energy will not be expanded, and they don't have the ability to relate to other people in the world. But if they are grown in a communist of light, they will be exposed to many different energies, and therefore they become more flowing and open and much better people than if they are born in an apartment just with their father and mother, and they are not exposed much to the external world, and the only exposure they might have is to go to the daycare centers, which is usually based on the business to make money by taking care of the children when the parents are in school. So the relationship between the people who take care of them and the children is not based on the community feeling and nurturing environment. But in the communities of light, of course, 12 people love all the children in it, and they will bring a greater degree of energy to them, so the children will be happier, more flowing, and they become much better people. Of course, if the community of light is created, there are going to be around 2,000 people at least in the community, that they know each other very well, and the children are protected and nurtured and brought up in a greater degree. So children are the very important part of the communities of light and the society. And of course, in the communities of light, also the old people are taken care of and are being supported, and the wisdom and the experience they have had in life can be brought to the children, and the older people can take care of the children while the parents, some of the parents go to work. And therefore, there is a great support group for the children, for the old people and young people. When they come home, of course, they are in the community, things are taken care of, and they are having less to do, and therefore there is not much stress in the community and them, and therefore they will not be stressed. The whole soul idea of compass of light is the godly idea, and that is the most natural way of living to create the compass of light. Any other lifestyle is not natural, not godly, will create a lot of tension and destruction, and it's not going to be very human way. And children will not be brought up children of light, but they will be very stressed out children, which they will not have the love of God in them. I mean, I'm asking, where is my longing to be a mother coming from? I never had this, but as I study the mission more, the longing to be a mother become stronger. Well, this is what God put in the heart of every woman, that they are longing to have a child, and that is very natural way of knowing that you want to have a child. And of course the best way to have a child is to find a person that, you know, also is interested in the marriage, and in the bond of marriage, you know, you can have children that come, you know, in an environment that is based on God's ways, and become a godly environment for you and children. And of course, if you eventually join the Compass of Light or create one, you will have more people to, you know, join you and your husband to help with the child, and you all can help each other. Indeed, humanity should not go toward personal and individual fulfillment only, but create an environment that there is help and sharing. Therefore, they do not need as much resources or work as hard just to satisfy individual longing for material thing, but create an environment that is best for the children and old people, and create an environment that godly people are created. And that longing is very natural. If you have an opportunity to find your other part, that is great. You have a great mission to bring godly children to the world. But of course, as we have explained, though, there are not always that is the way to go. Sometimes there is no other part, or we cannot find our part, or we don't have the ability to have good relationship with another person. And therefore, the message is that we can dedicate our life to God, and we are married to God, and our child is the manifestation of God's will. That people, of course, are called sannyasins or renunciates, and they dedicate their love absolutely to God and manifestation of God plan. It's an individual thing to do. Relationships are very hard. It needs a lot of work, a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding, and eventually reach a point that you accept God's will for you in that relationship. That it needs a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of work between couples to be able to be together. Of course, it is been well known, if you both are in the same religion, if you are both are in the same path, it is easier for both of you. And if you are not, of course, if you're going to go to God and he wants to go to the world, it's not going to work. You go to opposite direction. If you know you want to create the compass of light, and other person just want to go to a very narrow understanding of God, that's not going to work. It's just easier to find people who are traveling with you in the same path, and therefore it makes it easier to get along. But still, even then, you have to really come together with the understanding and godliness in both of you in order to be able to work a small little thing in life together and overcome a small thing. Otherwise, a small thing become a mountain, and it creates such a huge problem between the couples, and they cannot get along because small things will be in their way, and they cannot resolve it because one of them is godly and other is not, and therefore it's not going to work. And of course, if you find somebody in your capacity and godly, and you came together as a beautiful godly couple, and then you will have a godly child, and that would be a great accomplishment. The longing to have a child, it's been in the heart of every woman, and God have created these longings. Therefore, the procreation continues, the children are born, they are grown up, the societies are based on these children. There many great soul will be incarnated soon in this world, and they all will see this vision clearer. Even those who have come to the mission see a vision a little bit and leave. Next time, when they come to the body in this life, or next lifetime, or the life after, will come to see this vision in a greater degree, and will probably come and join and help the mission to progress. Therefore, creation of the children, family, is a very important part of God's plan, and those who engage in that level are indeed doing a great service for God and bringing His revelation and godliness to humanity. Actually, the whole community of light is based on the pure couples who marry, and they will have children which will be grown up in the community of light. And therefore, you can see the whole kingdom of God is based on those marriages and couples who create the community of light and live in it and grow up and bring God in all levels of their existence. We are not there yet, but we should start from wherever we are and continue to see it to the end. Therefore, all things are considered in this mission, and everything has been given to humanity as the God intended for them to be. The nature and natural way of living is creation of the communities of light and bringing the Spirit of God in these communities. That's why communities of light is a triangle upward, which is the beginning of the creation of the hierarchy on earth, and the triangle downward, which is the Spirit of God, has reached to man. So the triangle upward and the triangle downward is the best way to bring the kingdom of God on earth and bring the natural way for humanity to live, and eventually create an environment that every man and woman on earth will be progressing to their highest level and create environment that humanity eventually march toward the oneness with their essence and bring peace on earth. And bringing the children to understand these realities and truth is a great service for the whole process. So men and our women are greatly created to accomplish this, and they have to be taught this. The goal of the life is to become divine. The goal of the life is to come together and create this environment. Men and women are created a little differently. They are equal, but they are different, and each of them have different kind of longings, and they have been put in their heart to be like that, and each of them should be accepted, and their longing should be recognized and respected and utilized in a spiritual way, so we can have such an environment, so eventually God will have His kingdom on earth Not that he needs the kingdom, not that he longs to be the king, but by focusing on God completely, we can escape the Maya and destructive forces and the darkness which is in this manifested world and go to light. And that is the goal of life, to be concentrated and focused on God and light and bring it to communities and progress. Therefore, we can see that humanity again is being called to turn around, be baptized, and eventually, instead of being directed to Maya and sensual things and material thing, they have been called to drop those things and turn around, come together, help each other, create communities of light, become brothers and sisters in God, and realize that there is only one God. There is no two or three and many. It's the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal God. And that is the only God in that state unifies. If you call God a name, a shape, anything, then another person comes with the God with another name, with another shape, and separation starts right there. But our God is the God that has a holy name that you cannot pronounce it or utter it in the external world. And in this external world, he is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And therefore, we do not become attached to anything externally, because we know the essence of God is within ourselves. We have meditated on it. We have recognized that stillness between breathing in and breathing out, and breathing out and breathing in. And we live in that stillness, and we know that we are still. Therefore, we know God is within us, and we live in that stillness all the time, and we will come from that stillness. If we always come from a stillness, God is doing the work through us, and God does the perfect work. If we come from a stillness, we find a partner that is also in that stillness, so we can come together as a two godly people to create the children, which also will be grown in that stillness and know that God is within them. The more we create such beings, the more we will bring God to humanity, and we can create the communities of light, because everybody in the communities of light also will be in that stillness together and one, and they do not argue, they do not create situations that is based on ego, but their relationship is based on God and that is stillness and unity, and therefore they can create an environment that the children grow up without destructive tendencies of the ego, and therefore they grow up godly and egoless and share and communities of light. That is the vision of this mission, to create godly people, bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, teach them to meditate, recognize and realize God within, and bring that energy, that being, not only in themselves, but in their work, in their environment, in their communities, in their cities, in their nations, and eventually in the mission. And the more we create such a people, the more humanity sees we have something here. These people, these divines, have something that I also want to have. And the more we create such a longing in other people to want to be in that stillness and oneness and calmness and unity, the more they will come and they also learn how to be like that. And of course, the more they come, the number is the hand of God. And the number increases, the strength of the mission will increase, and eventually one day we reach a point that no longer we will have a Muslim or Jews or Christians or Hindus or Buddhists. We will all have divine beings on earth that they recognize and realize that everybody else is also their brothers and sisters in God, and there is no separation between them, and God indeed does exist, and he has sent all this revelation to God. And therefore, we are all come together and bring the earth to an accelerated state of going to God. I finish the conversation here. I leave all of you to God. Or is there any question? Please explain the best natural timings you can suggest for meditation. The best natural timing for meditation is in the sunrise and sunset. That is when the earth is in the calmest state. And if you can meditate on those times, that would be great. But of course, we average that out during the year, and we have chosen in for just sake of the everybody be there at the same time at 6 o'clock or 10 to 6 in the morning, and 10 to 6 in the evening. We do our daily services in the room called All Religions Unified. And we encourage everybody after that to do a meditation for 15 minutes or half an hour. But of course, mission is not rigid. Mission is very flexible. And we leave everybody to do their meditation and remind them on daily services anytime they want. The best time is sunrise and sunset. And of course, everybody in their own area, they can do it a quarter to six if they want to make it easier for everybody. A quarter to six in the morning, and 10 to six in the morning, and 10 to six in the evening. And after that, you can do your meditation. We encourage everybody to do it in wherever they are. And if they like, also, they can join us in that room, All Religions Unified, but they are done only twice, 10 to 6 in the morning, Mountain Standard Time, and 10 to 6 in the evening, Mountain Standard Time. Hopefully, one day we will have services all over the world, so we will have people meditating in each region 24 hours a day, because each region will be meditating at 6 o'clock their time. Sunrise and sunset in their time. So the best time is the sunrise and sunset. Okay, I don't see any other questions. Okay, no, there's another question. Okay, Night Winds is asking, the mark of the beast, will it be a chip or something? How would it be in the right hand or the forehead, just like Revelation says? Well, the mark of the beast is the greed, and the greed, of course, can be anywhere. It can be in your forehead or your right hand, and that mark, of course, has been here. It will be here with us until the kingdom of God come, and that mark is being explained in our teachings. If you go to our website and read through the revelation of the revelation, it explains what that mark is. It is not going to be a physical thing. It is a symbolic meaning that have come to humanity, as many things are symbolic. Probably they are waiting for Christ to come from the sky, from the cloud. But a sky means heaven. Heaven means pure consciousness. And cloud means confusion. And if you read our teaching in Bhagavad Gita, it clearly says, when the confusion prevails on earth, my spirit will rise and will bring the truth back to humanity. And therefore, all these things are symbolic meaning. And therefore, we have to understand the symbolic meaning of these words. Manlio is asking, had I felt your presence in the past, in last 1 month, in astral level? Well, God is everything, and you or anybody can feel the presence of God everywhere. And the most important thing is the message that we have brought to humanity. If you felt the presence of God or Maitreya or whoever, know that you should follow what he teaches. And those experiences are given to people to make them recognize and realize that God exists and they are called for a greater purpose. The experience, it doesn't matter. And many people have different experiences and they are all called to come, to join, to see the vision, to follow eternal divine paths, recognize all religions of the world are unified, and come and help and become one with it. An experience for every person is different. It depends upon what level they are, but the most important is how they react to it and how they will use that experience. Are they going to just use that experience just to say, I had an experience, which is from ego, and it is not something godly? Or they say, okay, I had an experience, and God is calling me for something. What is that? And you recognize that that is this mission, and you have been called to come and join and do the mission. Night Wind is asking, can you say Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Yes, he indeed came in the flesh. He was the Messiah. He indeed brought the revelation of the third seal, sacrifice, and we do acknowledge coming of Christ and his mission and revelation to man. And indeed, he was the fulfillment of the Messiah, which Jews have been waiting for all this time. And when he came, he fulfilled the prophecy of the chapter 49, verse 10, when the kingdom was given to Judah until the Shiloh come. And Shiloh came as the Messiah, as Christ. If you see your our teaching, you will see that Christ had a message to humanity, a sacrifice. He came to release the grace that was taken away from man at the time of the fall of man, and that grace was given to the children of the lost children of Israel, which came to the West and became mostly Christian. And this grace was with them to this point. At this point, the grace now is released to whole humanity, and we can see humanity are becoming more and more equal in this world, and eventually they come together as the children of one God through this revelation. And therefore, indeed, Christ is a celebrated, greatly celebrated Messiah, which came to earth to release the grace and show people how to overcome their lower nature, because overcoming lower nature is so hard. That is why he is such a celebrated Messiah. Okay, I hope that answers all your questions. Go to our website again, study our teaching, come here with questions about teachings, learn and understand why this vision is the last vision and revelation of God to humanity, why we should all come together and recognize, realize the will of God is this mission, and it is the revelation of God that have come to man. And this is actually the only viable revelation and teaching that should be accepted with everybody as the only acceptable religion on earth at this time. Any other will realize and recognize very soon that will not work. Therefore, I leave you all to God. Meditate, study, be sincere, realize God's way, and become one with it. Salam, everybody. We'll see you next week.